14th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verses 3-9. Being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this waste made of the fragrant oil? What might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you want, whenever you wish, you may do them good, but me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of as a memorial to her." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Why this waste? Why this waste? This is a question of some of the people who stood around when the woman came and broke a jar of ointment and poured it on Jesus' head. Why this waste? It was a very extravagant thing the woman did. The jar of ointment which she poured on Jesus was quite expensive. According to the text, it was worth over 300 denarii. And when you remember that a day's wages at that time was 1 denarii, you begin to see the extravagance of the deed. What a waste. This woman had poured out what amounted to about a whole year's wages for the average working person. What a waste. What good did it do? Something must have been wrong with her. Maybe she is mentally unbalanced. I mean, if she wanted to do something for Jesus, she could have anointed him with a few drops of the ointment, and the perfume would have been enough to spread over all the room and fill the room with its beauty and its odor. But she poured it all out. What a waste. What a waste. You know, there are poor people out there. There are hungry people. There are sick people. There are needy people. This ointment could have been sold for over a year's wages, over 300 denarii. And the hungry fed, and the naked clothed, and the sick ministered to out of the proceeds. This surely would have been the sensible thing, the practical thing to do. Why this waste? And this is still the cry of many in the world, and sometimes maybe even of us. Many feel, you know, that worship is a total waste. Now, people go to church on Sunday, but they're all right by Monday. It's just a little habit they've acquired. Nothing good comes of it. It's just so much hocus-pocus or rigmarole. It produces nothing. Worship butters no bread, builds no houses, yields no compound interest, serves no useful purpose. Why this waste? The money spent on church buildings, on staff, on equipment, on utilities, on insurance, could go far toward helping the poor. Why this waste? And this is the way multitudes of people think of it. One man wrote to Billy Graham years ago, and he said all preachers and all churches were just out for the money. And he said they should be taxed or closed. Why this waste? And that young person that has announced that he's going into the pastoral ministry, what a shame. What a waste. He could have perhaps been a person that made something of himself. He could have been a doctor or a lawyer or scientist, an educator, or general in the army, or an outstanding political leader. What a waste. Why go into the pastoral ministry? I have a friend about my age. He was in college and he felt the touch of God upon his life, and he came home and announced to his father that he was changing courses and going into the pastoral ministry. His father was a good man, lawyer, a judge, a leader in his local church, a leader in the North Alabama Conference. And when his son told him that he was leaving, his changing his direction and not going into law, whatever he'd been planning to do, his father said he forbid it. And if you go ahead and do that, you'll do it on your own. I will not pay you way to waste your life in the pastoral ministry. Or a young person finishes med school and chooses to go to a rural area or to the inner city or to a foreign land to practice among the poor. Many again will cry out, why the waste? He could have been wealthy. He could have had a great practice. He could have made a name for himself. Now he'll struggle all of his days and never be widely known. What a waste. What a waste. Or a young couple in our world look at their future together. And they see that if they both work and have a dual income, they'd have a great deal more finances and a lot more things. But they decide what they want is to have a family where the mother gives herself full time to raising their children. They know they'll never be able to live at the level of their peers. They make their choice. They live in a small house or an apartment. They drive an old car. They do without things others have so they can have time with their children. And in today's world, many cry out, why this waste? She could have had a life that amounted to something. I don't know anything anybody can do that amount to more than raising their children up in a godly home. Some people think that's just a waste. They could have so much more, a big house, a big car. Why this waste? Or a young father has the opportunity of advancement in his work. It'll require a large amount of travel away from home, his wife and their children. He talks it over with his wife. They pray about it. He decides to stay in the same position with the company that he has, at the same salary, and most likely forfeit all chances he would ever have for advances with the company. He does this so that he can be at home with his wife and his children. His superiors in the company who thought so much of him say, how foolish, what a waste. He could have amounted to something. He could have been a vice president of the company. What a waste. You see, the people that were there when this woman anointed Jesus, and many now, fail to see in this generous act of love anything but a waste. And yet, it seems that Jesus was deeply stirred by this woman's action. It was an unmeasured generosity that she had of giving all that she had that moved him. Her act was one of spontaneous love. It was not smothered with caution and prudence. Love compelled her to act. Perhaps Jesus thought, this is it. This is the self-forgetfulness, the self-denial, which is a mark of the kingdom of God. He told the people to leave alone. She's anointing my body for burial. She's done what she could. You have the poor with you always, but I'm not always going to be here. What is our response to this act in similar acts today that rejoice the heart of Jesus? Do we stand with those who condemn such acts and say, why this waste? Are we blind to issues where the last word, the bottom line, is not the clink of the coin, a monetary value? Does everyone and everything have its price? People who think like this place value only on what's in it for me. Some there, the scripture said, were indignant. I looked up that word in the dictionary. The definition has something like this. It is anger with contempt and loathing. They were angry with the woman. They loathed her. They had contempt for her and her action. A beautiful act of extravagant love made them angry. Feel contempt and loathing toward the woman. A beautiful act of extravagant love. They saw it only as a waste. Or maybe they saw it as a rebuke for their own lack of commitment. Again, what is our response to acts of self-denial and extravagant love? Please, God, let us see them as the loving, caring, beautiful things that they are. Let us rise above monetary considerations and see the true value of extravagant deeds done in love. Such deeds may not add much to the bottom line. They may not seem to serve any practical purpose. But any deed done in extravagant love is a thing of beauty and a joy forever. It surely is never a waste. Again, may God give us eyes to see that no act of love is ever wasted. No act of love is ever wasted. God, our Heavenly Father, give us eyes to see the beauty all around us and the loving deeds of simple, caring people who love You and love others. And help us to look beyond just the practical and the monetary value of something, and see the love behind the deed. And we pray in Jesus' name.